From the Carter Subaru Studios, this is Cairo Nights with Jake Skorheim.
Welcome back to Cairo Nights. It's the second hour of the show. That means we get to talk about news roundup. I got Matt Butler with me here. Matt, welcome.
Good to be here.
All right, so we're going to get into the news roundup really fast, but first I'm going to play the trivia clip. We had a bunch of people guess on the text line. Most of them got it. It's a pretty obvious one. Although it is a lot older, so this skews to our older audience. They're going to get this one. I don't know if you're going to get this, Matt. This is kind of a deep cut.
Let's give it a go.
I also feel weird. I want to preface this clip by saying I did feel, and I talked about this earlier, I feel weird playing this clip because it's somebody who I no longer admire in personal life. But I still think that the stuff that they create, I still enjoy. So it's a strange thing. We can talk more about that in just a second. But here's the clip. Take a guess. Good luck.
I thought of that old joke, you know, this guy goes to a psychiatrist and says, Doc, my brother's crazy. He thinks he's a chicken. And the doctor says, well, why don't you turn him in? And the guy says, I would, but I need the eggs. Well, I guess that's pretty much now how I feel about relationships. You know, they're totally irrational and crazy and absurd. I guess we keep going through it because most of us need the eggs.
That's a funny joke. Yeah. All right, so do you know what that's from?
Woody Allen. Is it Annie Hall?
It's Annie Hall. Okay. Yeah, you got it. Great movie. Yeah. A classic, really. Here's the thing about Woody Allen. My wife, for a long time, did I love Woody Allen. Yeah. When I was younger, I thought he was just the funniest guy.
Yeah.
Super brilliant, really, really funny guy. I think everybody kind of acknowledges that he had a real special ability to make people laugh.
Yeah.
And then there started coming out like all this kind of weird stuff, maybe some stuff that people got kind of uncomfortable even talking about.
Definitely.
And, you know, at that point, my wife, very early on, she's like, nah, I'm not comfortable watching this guy. I can't watch his movies, because I was trying to show her like, oh, you got to watch this movie. It's really funny. Small Time Crooks, all these different movies are hilarious. You got to watch these. She's like, no, I can't watch Woody Allen. And I'm like, no. You got to separate what you hear about him from his art. And she goes, I just can't do that. Like, she also will not listen to Michael Jackson.
Yeah, yeah.
And a lot of people have that. Like, a lot of people go, I know that Thriller's good, but I can't listen to it in the same way. Because all this stuff came out about him, all these allegations against him, and it just makes him uncomfortable. How do you feel about that? Like, how do you feel about the art versus the artist?
It's so difficult because, okay, I'll give you an example. Like, growing up, I was a huge fan of a band called The Smiths. Morrissey, Johnny Marr, Andy Rourke.
Yeah.
Later in his life, that band stood for certain things and reached me emotionally at a certain point as a teenager. It spoke to me. Later in his life, lead singer Morrissey went in a direction that was pretty uncomfortable in some of the things he espoused and had to say in the press. Now, in a band situation, I think it's a little easier because you can say, well, that was the band then. That was their combined effort. Johnny Marr's guitar work, for example. With somebody like Michael Jackson, though, it's really difficult because what people associate with that music a lot of times was so good. You're growing up. This is music you play at parties. This is fun, upbeat, good stuff. You know, young Michael Jackson, the Jackson 5.
Yes.
And then years later, you realize, oh, that's who he was.
Yeah.
It's difficult. I think it's a little easier for some people when the artist is no longer alive, because then they personally are not profiting off of the music anymore.
Well, like somebody like Michael Jackson's estate.
Right.
Still is massively valuable.
So like Paris is benefiting from his music, but Michael is no longer living that life.
Yes. Yeah, that's true. And, you know, people can root for her, obviously, and his other kids. I know he's got like Blanket, and I think there's another one as well. But it's just one of those weird things. But man, was Woody Allen funny.
Yeah.
Like, so funny. I thought he was just hilarious.
These are all such gifted people. It's very hard to set aside these legendary artists and the things you hear and experience about their art and then realize they're completely different people.
Yeah, like Picasso. He's another character who, obviously, he created some amazing art. Oh, yeah. People were, you know, still to this day, they're like, oh, he was one of the best artists of all time. But he had some personality traits that people look back on now. They go, like, should we really be celebrating this guy? Yeah. And I think somebody at some point, I don't remember who it was, but like a high-level person said, hey, we need to work really hard to try to separate. Because there was a moment where people were going to cancel Picasso. Hmm. And like all of Picasso's art then, all celebrated all around the world. It's worth hundreds of millions of dollars. could you still celebrate it based on, you know, because of the artist?
And, or do you take it all out of the museums?
Or do you take it out and you try to like suddenly say that it's not valuable because you don't like a personality trait about a person?
Yeah.
I honestly don't know where I come down on it.
Is there anybody that you can't listen to or watch anymore?
I have a tough time. I do have a tough time like celebrating Michael Jackson's music.
Yeah.
I just heard too many weird stories about the guy, the allegations. I know that there's been court cases, and I don't know if any of it has been cemented to be proven true. But I've heard a lot of like very, very compelling things said about him. Yeah, seemingly very credible things. I've seen documentaries about him where I just go, ugh, this makes me uncomfortable. And I think probably what's happening is now I now no longer associate that music with like the fun times of youth and parties and all these things. Now I associate it with like these things that I've read.
That's what
and heard.
Comes to mind the minute you hear that
music.
Yeah,
and as soon as that happens, you're just kind of done.
Mm-hmm.
All right, but Midnight in Paris, Woody Allen, Midnight in Paris.
He definitely had a gift.
He has a gift. Yeah. Here's the other thing. Here's the other like small way that I can justify it with movies. Not as much with like music and art, because music is like it's very much central on Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
Or art is very much about like, well, this is like nobody else contributed to this but except Picasso. Mm-hmm. A movie is a small city's combined efforts.
Yes.
Right? So it's like you need the director, writer, Woody Allen in this case with Midnight in Paris. He then has also a DP. He's got an assistant director. He's got 5,000 assistants. He's got all the people who work on all
other
the set
cast
dressings.
Members that turn in great performances.
The cast member. Yeah. You're exactly right. So like, there's so to to totally take that movie away as being something that you can enjoy also discredits 10,000 other
and
people's hard
work. Yeah,
which is done at an expert level.
Yeah.
So. I don't know. So the whole thing
similar
is similar
to how I feel about it in a band situation where there's other band members that contributed to art.
Yeah. No, I think we're on the same page. All right, let's get in the news roundup. We're talking about some clips here from all the other shows. We look back on what they were talking about, and then we can chat about it. On Seattle's Morning News, Angela Poe Russell, she had some thoughts on Florida's youth social media law. I'm very interested in this. Let's see what she had to say about it.
Look, I get it. Social media is not all bad. People feel less alone and can make meaningful connections. But any good tool needs guardrails. We need boundaries, like yesterday. I am not so naive, though, to think that a law is going to prevent all kids from being on social media. But does that mean we do nothing? Does that mean we keep marching deeper into this crisis, talk about the problem, but do nothing about it? The reality is technology is moving faster than lawmakers and regulators can act. Now, AI is on the scene. And if the experts can't keep up, how do you think parents are faring? Some think the government should just throw up its hands and leave it to parents. How's that going? Everybody doesn't have great parents. And even parents with the bandwidth struggle to rein it in as the tech companies, the kids, and the scammers always seem a step ahead. We need an assist, desperately. And this is a step in the right direction. Now, I don't know if it's going to stick. Federal judges have struck down similar laws due to privacy and free speech concerns. Government intervention isn't always a bad thing. It facilitates education, healthcare, and is a safety net. It takes a village to raise a child. And in this case, if the village is the government in the form of Ron DeSantis, then so be it.
What do you think about this one? Do you think this is a good thing?
This is I think the principle is good, but I have some difficulty wrapping my head around actually how it's going to work because of the principle. We've heard for years, you know, we don't like the nanny state. Government can't play the role of parents, especially with things they do in schools. Mm-hmm. But now we're saying, okay, step in and do this, which I think is good. It's great to think that, hey, don't have young kids on social media. But I also know as a pretty tech-savvy teenager, I know that there's going to be a lot of kids who are going to figure out the way to get around it very easily.
You think you could have
I already know how to circumvent this. I'm not going to broadcast it, but it's pretty easy to do.
Yeah, please don't. Yeah, like this will be interesting because basically what the Florida law says is for 14-year-olds, they need their parents to get online with them and provide a physical document. I guess, I don't know if this would be like a PDF scan or something like that.
Like a birth certificate or some sort of ID.
Something that the parent gets access to that they give the website access to to prove that this kid doesn't, it is the parent giving permission, not just the kid clicking the button that says your parent gives you permission to be on the site. But I do, you know, I agree. I think this is great in that it is trying to stop something that's getting kind of out of hand.
Yeah, and it is a real problem.
It's a real problem. We've seen all these studies recently about how it's affecting kids' emotional state, mental state. And Instagram just made this announcement. We talked a little bit about this on the show yesterday, but I thought this was really a step in the right direction. Instagram is saying that they will blur nude images sent to users that are under 18.
Oh, good.
Which is great.
Yeah.
And they're trying to curb what they call sextortion. So here was some of Instagram's announcement. They said, while people overwhelmingly use direct messaging to share what they love with their friends, family, or favorite creators, sextortion scammers may also use private messages to share or ask for intimate images. To help address this, we'll soon start testing our new nudity protection feature in Instagram DMs, which blurs images detected as containing nudity and encourages people to think twice before sending nude images. This feature is designed not only to protect people from seeing unwanted nudity in their DMs, that's a good idea, but also to protect them from scammers who may send nude images to trick people into sending their own nude images in return. So then they kind of walk through how this will work. And basically, because algorithms know everything and AI knows everything now, they can tell when something is a nude image.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how they do that, technology.
Yeah.
And they will actually like put a warning on the screen before somebody sends something. And it will like say, hey, are you sure you want to be sending this? Mm-hmm. Are you above a certain age? So I think protections like that feel like the step in the right direction.
Definitely. I mean, I hope it works. I'm just not sure if it sticks from a legal standpoint,
but
I hope
it
does work.
I hope it works too. All right, let's move on real fast. G and Ursula are talking about Generation Alpha.
I know for a fact that Generation Alpha is going to be a lot smarter than we are. And here's one of the reasons. When I was growing up, when I would ask my parents about something, hey, so why is it that I have to do this? And my parent would say, because I said so, right? I don't know if you guys have all ever heard that as kids growing up, where your parent says, because I said so. But why is it? Because I said so. Oh, okay. So Christopher Columbus discovered America, but no, because I said so. We were a generation of just doing what our parents said. Now we have a generation of young kids that are able to go and look and see the information for themselves. We were so used to the media, telling stories, setting and establishing narratives about about people in this country. So we looked to the news and we said, oh, well, that must be true. The welfare queen, that must be true. All of the different myths that have had to be debunked because technology has done that. So y'all can keep all the reading scores. You can say all you want to about Generation Alpha. I'll rock with Generation Alpha because this next generation coming, you can't just tell them because I said so.
So Generation Alpha is like really young kids, right?
Yeah.
They're like
so
under,
the next ones that are going to be adults, I guess.
So they're like under, I think they're like under 12 or 10 years old. Like that's the Generation Alpha.
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly.
We did a story there. I don't know if you remember this one, but I think you were might remember it. But do you remember we played that audio from the Generation Alpha kids, like kid influencers?
Yeah, yeah.
That's so creepy to me.
Yeah.
It's like 8, 9-year-olds, 10-year-olds who are monetizing their influence online with the help of their parents, because again, they're not supposed to be able to use this technology.
Right.
So they're broadcasting it on their parents' accounts with their parents' permission, supposedly.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they're influencing things. Like, you know, it's them talking about makeup and all these different things. Like 7-year-olds. We played this horrible audio of this 7-year-old girl giving a makeup tutorial. And she's excited to go out to dinner. I don't know if she's going to Chuck E. Cheese or something, but she's excited to be going out for the night.
Yeah.
And so she's putting on a certain type of blush that she really likes. And you're just going like, oh, my gosh. Like, as much as G is talking about how these kids have access to information, I understand how that's beneficial. I also understand from the previous clip that we played from Angela Poe Russell how that can be detrimental to these kids as well. And, like, there is some amount of because I told you so, that I think is actually really good for kids.
Yeah.
Because what I think it does is it shows them, like, listen, number one, you need to be able to listen to authority.
Yeah.
You need to not always be questioning everything all the time. Like with my kids at home, there are some times where I am telling them things that, and I'm just telling them because, listen, I can't sit here and explain it to you. It's because I said so.
Right.
Like, you just don't have time to explain things to kids. Because all the time, like, why?
Or you
why?
Can't
why?
Make it make sense at that stage of life.
I can't make things make sense to a 4-year-old. Like, I can't explain to him why he can't have cupcakes in the morning.
Yeah.
Or why he can't eat pizza for breakfast.
Or why you can't defeat gravity.
Why you can't defeat gravity. Why can't I fly? Why? These are just things that they need to get comfortable going, like, you know what? Sometimes you just have to learn how to listen to authority. Right. So I do think there is some sense there.
Yeah.
But, you know, every generation is, you know, very, very smart. They all have access to better information than we had.
I think that's part of what we see, too. Like, we see these people with extreme reactions on TikTok sometimes. We talked about different people like that.
Yeah.
And I think as kids get older, that inquisitive spirit, they're like, well, okay, it's that way, but why? They do start to question a lot of the established things. Hopefully it leads them somewhere good. But
hopefully.
I think, you know, as you get older, there is some of that, and that can be a good thing.
Sometimes. Yeah. Sometimes. We hope. All right, we got time for one more. Jack and Spike or John Sherry, your
Let's
choice.
Let's do Jack and Spike.
Jack and Spike. All right, talking about my favorite burger place.
In-N-Out Burger is a mid-hamburger. I have been eating In-N-Out Burger almost the entirety of my life. Mm. It is not as good as everybody says that it is. And when everybody freaks out about it, it's because they have Thousand Island dressing on the hamburger. Big whoop.
Is that what it is?
Big whoop.
It's the freshness factor, too, right?
It's the freshness factor, Spike.
I'm just asking.
I can make a smash burger at my house. It's super fresh, right?
Smash burger.
That's what I'm saying, is that basically what In-N-Out Burger has done is they've convinced everybody because they've got the freshness factor and they use peanut oil as opposed to canola oil.
And they have those cool potato machines. We can't forget about those. They go chunk and then the whole potato turns into fries right in front of your eyes.
Which is a travesty because I want them shipped frozen from China.
They're crispier that way, right?
It's the razor cuts that make them crispy.
I understand that people are super excited about it, but if you want an In-N-Out Burger, you can find the recipe list for an In-N-Out Burger on the internet, and you can go make your own In-N-Out Burgers, and you don't have to wait until 2025.
Yeah, but you don't get the sparkly white porcelain walls. You don't get the red and white uniforms, the paper hats that they sell as a take-home version of your experience.
Yeah.
It's the experience more than the burger, I think, for a lot of people.
It's also the price.
I love In-N-Out Burger. It's very near and dear to my heart, my family. Yeah. I've told this story already, but my dad worked at like the third or fourth In-N-Out Burger ever back in the late 60s.
Okay.
And, you know, he knew the In-N-Out family.
Yeah.
They're just nice people.
Yeah.
And they ran a great business, and people are diehard fanatics of In-N-Out.
And like Spike said, too, I mean, until I came out this way, I had never been to an In-N-Out Burger. And I went with my girlfriend in Oregon for the first time. And part of it was the experience. Am I going to say it was the best burger I've ever... Well, I don't really know, but what I do remember is that experience. The whole going there for the first time, getting food for the kids, you know, all that stuff. And that was what made it a good experience for me.
Did you enjoy the taste?
I did. I did like it. It was a good burger.
It's a good burger. Yeah. It's a tasty burger.
It's a tasty burger.
Yeah, it's good. I also like that they sell t-shirts. It is a vibe. Everybody likes it.
Yeah,
so.
And I like their commitment to quality. They're committed to not being too big and losing what makes them special.
They are
that.
All owned. There's no franchises. Yep. It's all owned by the same family who still owns it. In fact, the girl inherited it. There was a tragedy in the family. Like the main family died in a plane crash.
Yeah.
And she inherited everything.
Lindsay, I think her name is.
And
right?
she's now run it for many, many years now. They own every single location, which I think is really cool.
I think that's great.
Kept it in the family. Yeah. And they've, you know, they could have expanded big time a long time ago, but then they would have lost control and quality.
That made it special.
And so they wanted to, you know, keep it special.
Gotta love that.
All right. That's it for the news roundup. Thank you so much. All right. We got a lot more coming up on the show. Stick around. We're going to be right back here on Cairo Nights.
You're listening to Cairo Nights with Jake Skorheim.
Welcome back to Cairo Nights. I have one of my favorite guests on. I say this to all my guests, but with him, I really mean it.
Oh, yeah, because I'm standing here.
That, of course, is John Curley from the John Curley and Sherry Elicker Show. John, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Great to be here.
You guys were talking about something on your show yesterday. I was listening to it.
Yes.
And I thought it was so fascinating.
Mm.
There was something about kids therapy and soft parenting or gentle parenting. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
So I'll send people over to Barry Weiss's podcast, Honestly, where you can hear her interview Abigail Schreier, who's got this new book out called Bad Therapy. And she basically looks at why are kids so messed up? Here we have the safest, most successful, most comfortable generation ever in the history of man walking the earth. And yet a great portion of kids say they're depressed, they're anxious, suicide, all this other stuff. And she wanted to know why. And she sort of points to the fact that parents have given up parenting and given it over to therapists. And therapists do nothing more than continually talk to the child about how they're feeling. And she says that it's really damaging the children. So she then looks at the three different types of parenting. And she says the absolute worst is gentle parenting that is out there right now, where the parent is not the authority figure. The parent is just constantly asking the child, how do you feel? How do you feel? What can we do about your feelings?
I have experienced this firsthand. I have three young kids.
Yes.
I have a fourth on the way in 2 months. I'll have four boys. I have an 8-year-old, a 6-year-old, and a 4-year-old. And when my middle kid was in preschool, the preschool had like a little class meeting, and they were telling all the parents, like, hey, there's some new studies out. We actually know how to parent, and you don't. And so we want to teach you the best way to parent your kids.
Right.
And what they said you should do, and my wife was like, this was the point at which she finally stopped trying to bend over backwards to listen to everything that these folks were trying to tell her.
Yeah.
And before, you know, they send the class emails and everybody's on the text chain and it's just ridiculous. So they said, let's say, for example, that your kid is outside in the sandbox and it's time for them to come in for lunch.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in the old days, if you were outside as a kid and your parents wanted you to come in, what would they do?
Call you in. And then they would give you like a countdown. They'd say 5 minutes.
Yes.
And they come in 5, 4, 3... Get in here.
And if your butt wasn't inside when they got to one.
Yeah. They would come out and get you, pull you out of there, or then there would be, you know, circumstances beyond your control, like not going to get dessert, or you got to go to your room, or you can't go outside and play.
And then
again,
it escalates depending on the severity.
Sure. Yeah.
Same with my parents.
Yeah.
Like they would, you know, and it, all the way up to spankings. So what they told my wife to do, though, is they said, listen, if your kid's in the sandbox and they don't want to get out of the sandbox, the important thing you need to understand is why the kid doesn't want to get out of the sandbox. So what you need to do is you need to go out there and sit down in the sandbox with them. And it's very important. And they had this whole thing that they gave everyone to read. It's very important that you are not taller than them when you're having this conversation. You need to be on their level. It's so important that you're on their level. And you need to discuss it with them until they decide for themselves that they want to come inside.
Yeah. This is a human being that eats their own boogies.
Yes.
Yeah.
And can't wipe their own butt oftentimes.
Right.
These are the people that we're supposed to be listening to. And so we have teachers. So what kind of parenting would that fall under?
Gentle parenting.
That's gentle parenting.
Yeah. This is sort of therapist-driven gentle parenting. And as Schreier points out in their book, what you're doing to the child is you are not allowing the kid to feel as if someone else is in control. That you... there's three types of parenting. One is you do it because I told you, and then there's going to be a whack on the bottom and there's no love. The second one, which is authority, where the child looks up to you and wants to know that you're in charge, knows that they don't know anything. So they're in charge. And when mom says go, we go. Why? Because I said so. There's nothing wrong with saying because I said so. The kid doesn't need to be rationed with because they're not rational people. Kids are not just little adults or little people. Kids are little kids.
Their brains
and they have not fully functioned yet.
And
she said, you need to be able to show the child that you're in charge. It gives the child a sense of security, which the others don't. The other stuff does not give that child a sense of security. And that's what the child wants to know, that somebody bigger and stronger is helping me and in control and guiding me. And she said, if you do that, when the kid hits 16, they'll want to be an adult. They'll want to get their driver's license because they look up to you.
And they have seen through example that, boy, doesn't it look fun to be in charge?
Right, to be in charge.
And
to...
your life is together. Like, imagine what a little kid would think if they're sitting in the sandbox and suddenly mommy comes out and she starts putting sand in her pants.
Right.
Like my son does.
Yes.
He would go, this lady is a psychopath.
Right. They wouldn't exactly be able to put it all together and rationalize it entirely, but it would, something deep inside would say, this is the person I'm looking up to.
Yes.
I'm supposed to look up to this person. And when you're down at that kid's level, they know this is weird. There is a structure that needs to be in place.
What's interesting is that you have, and it must just because it perpetuates the industry and it's good for business, that they keep pushing this idea that kids need constant questions asked of them.
Yeah.
That was a really interesting part of the conversation when you and Sherry were talking about it. I have seen this in my own life where it's like my instinct sometimes when my kids come home from schools, tell me everything about school. Did you have a good day? All these, just peppering them with questions, almost like you're trying to make up time because you haven't seen them for a little bit. They don't want it. They don't want to be asked a million questions, like especially as they get older. But you could still have conversations with them that are fine. But my wife is like, why are you asking them so many questions? And I'm like, I don't know. I kind of thought like,
do you want a great question for your kid?
Yeah, I'd love it.
tell me what you learned about yourself today.
Good question.
So it doesn't focus entirely on their feelings, but it's like, what'd you learn about yourself? Well, I learned that I can handle this. I learned that I could do this. I learned it's showing progress, and it's them telling you the progress that they've made. What have you learned about yourself today? Did you go out into the world to figure out, oh, I do better with this or worse with that? I've lost my patience. I'm better at coloring than I thought I was. Whatever it is, but this what has happened in today's world, and they say this is because of parents, primarily the parents who are doing gentle parenting, is because they came from a divorced family. They also have money, and they didn't want their kids to go through what they went through, so they go to a therapist. They basically turn over all responsibility to the therapist, and they're always getting the kids to talk about their feelings. Well, the kids say, why are my feelings always so important? I guess I should continue to have a problem with my feelings continue to get attention.
Yeah, that was it. When I heard you guys say that, it just kind of finally plants a flag in this thing that every parent understands, which is like your kids, their little brains are just, they're scattered. They're running all around. They're doing all this stuff. If they're focusing on feelings all the time, then it elevates it and they go, oh, I guess however I'm feeling right now is the most important thing in the world. Yeah. Instead of the reality, which they will discover later in life, which is that no adult cares about what another adult is feeling unless you're dating that person and you're trying to fall in love with that
but
person.
But this is applicable to your situation. Schreier also said, she pointed out, she saw five kids get out of this large car, and the oldest kid got out and reached out to the back seat and got his little sister out. When you are in a family with just one kid, the family is singularly focused, the mom and dad, on that one kid. It's all about that one kid. But larger families, bigger groups, each kid realizes, I'm no more important than anybody else in there, and we'll all work on this together. So they're all equally involved in other people's lives. But with the one child, it is all about that kid. How's that kid feeling? What are you doing? What's going on? You're this focus, all this. But when you realize you have more and more kids. Right, you have more and more kids. It's like, I don't know. Yeah. You know, eventually it's like all the kids are just raising themselves because the parents just didn't have time anymore. But when you have that one kid, it's that one project.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, it's a fascinating. We don't have time to talk about it anymore, but I could talk about this endlessly.
It's called Bad Therapy. Again, so Barry Weiss's podcast is called Honestly. She talks to Schreier there, and the book is called Bad Therapy by Abigail Schreier.
I'm going to read it. That's fascinating. That is John Curley from the John Curley and Sherry Ellicker Show. You can hear him every day on this station between 3 and 7 p.m., the show right before ours. All right, we got a lot more coming up on the show. Stick around. We're going to be right back here on Cairo Nights.
You're listening to Cairo Nights with Jake Skorheim.
Welcome back to Cairo Nights. Thank you guys so much for listening. Hey, I saw this story and I found this really encouraging. I actually thought this was a really great thing. Listen to this. And I don't know how this is going to play out yet, but I hope this is maybe the first step in many, many steps forward that people will take to protect young people from the dangers of social media, which I know we've talked about a bunch on the show. And, you know, when you say young people, it makes you automatically sound old, but they are. They're a lot younger. And people online these days they're in a lot of danger if they don't know what to look out for. So Instagram, listen to what Instagram is doing. They just put out this release. This was today. Instagram put this out and they said that Instagram will blur nude images sent to teens to curb sextortion. You might be wondering how teenagers are even getting nude pictures across on Instagram, but kids can do a lot of crazy stuff online these days. But it looks like Instagram's actually taking a positive step forward to putting a stop to this. So listen to some of these details. While people overwhelmingly use DMs to share what they love with their friends, this is Instagram's release today talking about this, sextortion scammers may also use private messages to share or ask for intimate images. To help address this, we'll soon start testing out new nudity protection features in Instagram DMs, which automatically blurs images detected as containing nudity and encourages people to think twice before sending nude images. I think this is fantastic. I'm so happy that they're doing this. I think they've, I don't know if the technology has just recently become available or if it's because I really do feel like there's kind of this momentum shift happening, almost like a sea change, where I think grown-ups are starting to step in and go, hey, you know what? Like, we don't need to allow this. We don't need to allow these companies full access to our kids and then let them see things that they shouldn't be seeing. Like, parents are stepping up and saying, I'm not going to put up with this anymore. I'm sick of it, and I'm not going to put up with it anymore. And I think some of these tech companies are realizing, hey, if we don't figure out how to put in some put in some safety devices on these things, we're going to lose a lot of users because parents are going to take them away from their kids because parents love their kids and they want to protect them. I'm a parent. Trust me. I know. All right. And I've said many times, I'm going to make sure that my kids don't have phones, which you guys think is crazy. I am going to let them have phones. They're not going to be smartphones. They're going to be dumb phones. I don't know if they're called doodle bugs or what they're called, but you can buy phones which do what phones were originally intended to do, which is not to send pictures back and forth to each other, but instead meant to call somebody. Like when I was a kid, if I had a cell phone, it was because my dad and my mom were like, all right, Jake's going to be in the family car. Let's let him use the family cell phone. And if he gets into trouble, he can call us or he can call 911 and we can help him. That's what cell phones were like originally kids were carrying them around for. Maybe they had Snake on the Nokia phones if you were really cool. But now you have the entire world of the internet in your pocket if you have a smartphone. And that could be very dangerous because it gives people access, like bad actors out there on the internet, not like bad Hollywood actors, like bad people on the internet seek out young people who might make stupid decisions and might do bad things because there's weirdos out there. In Florida, they've actually signed a new law. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis recently signed this new law, which I think is great. It's going to be challenged in court, of course, but I hope it stands up. Basically, what it says is 14-year-olds, anybody under the age of 14, if you want to use social media, your parents are going to have to sign on. They're going to have to actually submit real-world documents that prove that they have given you permission to be on the social media site. And you can't just click a button and promise that you're a parent giving your kid permission. You're going to actually have to, like, parents are going to have to get involved. It's going to force parents to be involved in their kids' lives, which I think is a really good thing. Governor Ron DeSantis was talking about this on the day he signed the bill.
Being buried in those devices all day is not the best way to grow up. It's not the best way to get a good education. Now, with things like social media and all this, you know, you can have a kid in the house, safe seemingly, and then you have predators that can get right in there into your own home. You could be doing everything right, but they know how to get and manipulate these different platforms. And so it's created huge problems.
What I really like about this topic, one, I think it's a really important one. One of the things that defines our world right now is social media. The growth of it has been so exponential. It's so massive and it kind of touches everything. So we need to make sure that our kids are safe and they are protected. I think we need more laws shielding children from predatory tech companies, honestly, because they have known that this stuff's been going on for a long time. And only when parents have gotten really vocal about it, only when the laws are being starting to put on the books, which will hold tech companies responsible if these kids see any of this stuff, then, you know, there's going to be a penalty. And now the tech companies are stepping up and saying, whoa, 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 whoa. Okay, yeah, no, we can stop this. Like Instagram, for instance, is now saying we can protect children from nude images. We can automatically blur nude images if somebody sends these on one of these DMs. Which I don't know how long they've had that technology, but I don't think they just got it yesterday. But they're just doing this now. This is a step in the right direction. There might be some disagreement on this too. And if you disagree with this and you're one of those people out there that are like, no, phones are great for kids and social media is really great for kids, give them access to the internet. They need to learn how to protect themselves. I want you to text me on the text line, 888-973-5476, and I will just basically tell you that you're wrong. So actually, no, don't text me. But if you feel like it, whatever, you can. But you are wrong if you are going to text me that. I promise you, you're wrong. This is a good thing. I'm happy they're doing this. I'm happy that they're going to be protecting kids. And I hope more states follow this so that, parents have some leverage to protect their kids. It's not just parents who are saying, oh, I have to be the one parent that's not going to let my kid have social media. Then the kid's complaining and saying, everybody in the world has a phone. Why can't I have a phone? This gives parents some leverage to say, you know what? No, like it's not even legal in this state, so you can't use it. And that just ends it. All right, we got a lot more coming up on the show. Stick around. We're going to be right back here on Cairo Nights.